Amen. Good morning, Exchange. You guys doing good this morning? You guys awake? I feel like everyone's a little sleepy this morning. Are you guys kind of sleepy? All right. Well, don't be sleepy. you guys, if you have your Bible this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Please turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. And as you guys know, here in the basement, we've been spending our time together going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons ever preached. And we want you to be able to read along. So if you don't have a Bible, if you need a Bible, please just raise your hand and the guys will come around and make sure that you have a copy of the Bible if you don't have one. But let's just pray one more time. I know we just prayed, but let's pray again as we open God's Word together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you so much for church and the opportunity it is every Sunday to come and worship you as your people and to hear from your Word and to be encouraged and helped from your Holy Spirit through your Word. And we just ask that your Word would help us even today as we listen to it. Help each student in this room to hear your Word and to respond to it, to be changed by it, to be transformed through this message. And we pray that in Christ's name, amen. Just the other day, I was with Pastor Jay, and we were about to go somewhere in his car. And we were walking up to his car, and he just made a comment as we got closer to his car, "Look how dirty my car is." And he wasn't wrong. It was really, really dirty on the outside. He needed a car wash really bad. And I can't blame him for it. He lives in an area where there's dirty roads and there's a lot of dust and stuff, and his car gets dirty instantly whenever he drives on that road. And then you could tell that maybe he had like parked under a tree or something, because it looked like a bunch of birds had just, left their mark, if you know what I mean, on the car. It was a really, really dirty car, and he maybe even extra dirtier than normal, and he really needed a car wash. And what was interesting is as we got closer, he also said, "But don't worry, on the inside, my car is clean." And he also was right about that. His car was nice and clean. It looked like it had just been detailed. It was vacuumed. It was spotless. There was even like a nice car air freshener, like that, the kind that smells really good on the inside of the car. And the car on the outside was dirty. It was unclean. It was filthy on the outside. But on the inside, it was shiny and clean and spotless. And then just for a second, we talked about how that's kind of like the opposite of how the Pharisees were, like we've been talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount. And you guys know that if you've been here with us as we've gone through this message from Jesus, the Pharisees, as Jesus has been making known to us here, were guilty. They had the serious problem of being shiny and clean and spotless looking on the outside, but on the inside, the area where no one saw, they were dirty, unclean, filthy, sinful. They were clean looking on the outside where people saw, but where it mattered most, they were sinful and dirty and okay with it on the inside. And that's what Jesus has been warning us all about as we've been reading through Matthew chapter 5. Some people, even very religious people who are around church, around the things of God, around God's word, might look the part, but not actually be part of God's kingdom. There's a very real danger that someone around religious things, around church, might look the part, but not actually be part of God's kingdom. This is a serious danger for church people. It's a serious danger for you coming here to the basement every Wednesday, every Sunday. A lot of you knowing the Bible really well. A lot of you being around church your whole life. It's a serious danger for us to be somebody who looks good, who looks okay, who makes them look themselves look superior or clean or shiny or spotless on the outside where other people see, but to be a total dishonor to God, to be lost, hopeless, without with sin, without hope on the inside. Jesus has been showing us in this sermon that there's nothing more important than you being part of his kingdom, of God's kingdom, to be rescued from the kingdom of darkness and sin, which ends in separation from God for forever and ever, and to be rescued to be part of God's kingdom, where you will be comforted, where you will be at peace, where you will see God, where you will be called a son of God, a daughter of God. Jesus wants you to be somebody who's in the kingdom of God, and there's nothing more important than being in that group of people. And there are only two options: to be somebody who's not in the kingdom of God or somebody who is. And Jesus, in love here, has been graciously telling us that in this chapter, that there's some who might outwardly look like they're part of the kingdom, but inwardly, they've never actually entered the kingdom at all. There are some who look okay to everyone, shiny and clean, but are actually lost and sinful on the inside and doing nothing to be changed by God on the inside. There were some people who were even trying to make themselves look superior, the scribes and the Pharisees, to feel like they rank higher than other people or compare themselves to other people. But before God, where he sees, where it counts most, they're far from him. They're not in his kingdom at all. If that's you, you need to know it. Looking good to others on the outside, looking okay before other religious people, isn't even close enough to actually being part of God's kingdom. And so Jesus is so kind to clear things up for us here in this chapter, in these three chapters, at Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He wants to make sure you and me are actually part of God's kingdom. He wants each of us to know if we're in the kingdom or if you're not in the first place. And Jesus also wants you to know why he came, that the only way for you to enter his kingdom is not for you to try to be better, to try to make yourself look better on the outside, to try to be good enough in your own strength to enter the kingdom. No, Jesus wants you to know that he came alone to be able to make it possible for you to enter the kingdom through his righteousness, through you being in Christ, through you being somebody who believes in him, who's perfect without sin and who is righteous alone. He's the one who came to make you into a new creation, somebody who can be part of his kingdom through his grace alone. And to transform you into somebody who now cares about pursuing true righteousness from our hearts, not just on the outside, but in a way that shows up on the inside. And our big idea to consider, to think about this morning, is that Jesus challenges you to think about your heart, not just how things look on the outside. Jesus requires. He makes us think about how things really are on the inside, not just how things appear on the outside. He wants you to think about who you are before God, where only you see and where only God sees. He wants you to start there. And in this section, Jesus has been bringing up relationships, the way we treat others, and even how that can show where our heart really is. He's been having us think about someone who actually belongs to God's kingdom, a Christian, and what that looks like, how a Christian actually treats people. And it's not just to look good on the outside. It's to have true love for others on the inside in our heart, to be transformed by Jesus on the inside. And he, on Wednesday we saw, talks about how you treat other people in your life, brothers and sisters, Christians. Are you somebody who treats them with anger, or have you been changed by Jesus to start to love other people from your heart? And then here in these verses that we come to this morning, Jesus thinks about the closest of all human relationships. He thinks about marriage and brings that up, how a husband and a wife treat each other. And that's what we'll see here as we read, starting in verse 27, Matthew 5, 27. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you should lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the ground of immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Those verses are telling us that Jesus cares about the inside. He cares about the inside, who we are in our hearts. And that means your heart, that means your thoughts, your intentions, your choices on the inside where only you see and where only God sees, that will eventually show up on the outside. He's been describing what a real kingdom citizen who's been saved and who's been transformed by Jesus will look like, what they'll care about. And he tells us it starts with who we are on the inside in our hearts. And now this morning, I just want to think about things a little bit differently and just give you three lessons for middle schoolers. Three lessons for middle schoolers as Jesus challenges you to think about your heart and not just how things look on the outside. Three lessons to take away from this passage as we think about our heart and not just how things look on the outside. But first, let's just think about this relationship that Jesus mentions here, and that's marriage. We know that's kind of the theme of this section of verses. And Jesus brings up that closest human relationship there is, and that's God's good design of marriage. Even from Genesis, we know that Adam and Eve, the first married couple, we know that God's design was that it would be for one man and one woman to be together for life. That's God's good design of marriage from the very first man and woman. But we also know that, according to Jesus' words here, even that closest relationship, marriage, can be damaged by sin. Jesus brings up the very sad situations here of adultery, of divorce, that come because this world is in sin. This world has fallen into sin, even going back to Adam and Eve too. Those are not God's good design. God hates adultery. He hates divorce. Even though these verses tell us God does permit divorce in some certain situations. But I want you to think about this, that even though this talks about marriage, this is not something, a passage of verses for you to just skip over until someday when you're married. I don't want you to think these verses don't mean anything for you. So let's think about three lessons for middle schoolers, three lessons to take away from what Jesus says here as he challenges you to think about your heart. And here's lesson number one: a kingdom citizen, that's another way to say a real Christian, a kingdom citizen recognizes his or her sin and its seriousness. A kingdom citizen, somebody who's really in the kingdom, is going to recognize they are sinful, and it is serious. That's a lesson we need to see from Jesus here. Remember, he was talking about the Pharisees here, the scribes and the Pharisees. He's talking about religious people who thought of themselves as superior and squeaky clean and good looking on the outside just because they hadn't committed the kinds of sinful actions that everyone knew was wrong. They compared themselves to the sinful people out there. The Pharisees were acting like if you just don't do some of the big, really bad, obvious sins, then you're going to be okay with God. They were saying, you know, we're not like the criminals. We're not, you know, the bad guys. We're not the tax collectors. The Pharisees, we're not the villains or, you know, that show up in movies or the bad guys that end up on the Channel 4 news because they, you know, broke the law or broke the speed limit or stole or something like that. The Pharisees are comparing themselves to the bad people who have obviously broken God's law. And they said, you know, we haven't done that kind of bad stuff that everyone's seen. And so they acted like they were totally fine with God, totally fine in their relationship with God. They'd even kind of made up their own laws and rules to ignore some of the real, actual, more weighty laws of God. But then in verse 28, you see the Jesus corrects what the Pharisees were teaching. He fixes their wrong ideas. And he reminds them of what God says. He reminds them of what God really cares about. Verse 28, he gets down to our heart. Not just a sin that happens on the outside, a serious sin that's obvious to everyone. God cares about sins that show up in your heart before God, even if others don't know them. Jesus brings up not just immoral, like sinful actions, but in verse 28, immoral, sinful things that go on inside of every person's heart, behind the scenes where only God sees and where only you see. That could be anger, like we saw on Wednesday, not just acting out in anger, but anger that you're holding on to in your heart. Or, as these verses teach us, it could be something that's pursuing, seeking, holding on to something sinfully that's disobeying what God wants in your heart. Jesus says, that's sin too. Not just outside actions, inside thoughts, inside things. That's what verse 28 is about. And Jesus says something really similar to this in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, from within, out of the heart of man, or out of the heart of woman, come evil thoughts, immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things coming from within, and they will defile a person. Jesus says our sin's not just a problem of the big stuff on the outside. It's a problem of even the little things that start on the inside. And the Pharisees were here refusing to deal with or acknowledge or say anything of the truth to God about the sin that was in their hearts. They pretended like they were good because no one saw what they looked like really on the inside. But we need to know that's not how a true Christian, that's not how a kingdom citizen, somebody who's part of God's kingdom, thinks. That person will recognize what Jesus says here. A Christian knows and they confess that their sin starts as and is a heart problem, not just an outside action problem. Sin is a heart issue, a problem on the inside before God. A Christian will recognize that. They will confess that. They will be convicted of that, and they will bring that sin to Jesus. A Christian will recognize and confess what God says about our hearts. Here's a question for you this morning. Do you recognize your sin in your heart and recognize its seriousness before God? Do you recognize your sin in your heart and recognize its seriousness before God? A real Christian will do that. They will be, like Jesus said earlier, poor in spirit. They will know how sinful you are, and they will mourn over their sin. They will be sorrowful over that sin to repentance. Someone who's not in the kingdom, somebody who's a religious Pharisee, they're just going to ignore that sin that no one sees. They're going to pretend it's not really a big deal. They're going to push it aside and just compare themselves to others and try to look good enough on the outside. There's only those two groups of people, somebody who's in the kingdom or somebody who's a religious Pharisee who's not. How about you? Where would you say you are this morning? Lesson number two, a kingdom citizen, again, that's another way to say a real Christian, a kingdom citizen will fight sin seriously starting in your heart. You'll fight sin seriously starting in your heart. A Christian doesn't just recognize that sin and say, yeah, it's a problem before God. It's offensive to God. They're actually going to deal with that sin according to Jesus, he says in verse 29 and 30. They're going to deal with that sin. They're going to want to turn away from it, and they'll be focused on repenting, for forsaking that sin. They'll have a new heart that hates the sin that still creeps in and shows up from our hearts. And they'll deal with it even if it's hard or difficult. Look at verse 29. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you would lose one of the members of your body than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. That's a shocking thing for Jesus to say. And it's kind of a gross thing for Jesus to say, kind of gross to imagine. And we need to know that Jesus really is not saying to actually do this. He's not saying actually take out your eye or get rid of your hand to deal with sin if you're a Christian. No, that's not what he wants us to take away. But it does get at how seriously we should think about dealing with sin and getting rid of sin in our heart, even if it's hard or painful or difficult. Look at verse 29. The consequence of sin at the end of verse 29 says is that it would lead to judgment forever. Again, look at the end of verse 30. Following sin leads to judgment forever. A Christian knows, I don't want to go down this road of sin, and I'm going to repent from it. That's where we're going after sin, verse 29, verse 30, leads in the end. And sin, if it's not repented of, if it's followed after, if you go down that road of sin, if you're here without Christ this morning and you know you're living in sin, you need to know, Jesus says seriously, that it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to separation from God forever in a place of judgment. We need to know how serious sin is. And if you're a Christian, if you've been saved from that sin, you're going to hate sin from your heart, from even the inside. Listen to James 1:14. It tells us that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. That's talking about what goes on in the heart. And then it says, James 1:15, that when that desire, when it comes forth, it gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. The end of following your sin, what it's going to bring about in the end, if you're not in Christ, it's ultimately going to bring forth death. So a Christian, if you're really in the kingdom, is going to be somebody who wants to do whatever is necessary, whatever it takes to make sure sin, unrighteousness is cut off, that it is escaped from, that it is watched out for, that you're fighting and guarding against sin in your life, that you're turning away from it, even if it's difficult. Here's a question for you this morning. Are you fighting and fleeing from sin in your heart? A real Christian, somebody who's already been forgiven, who's already been saved from God's judgment through Jesus, is going to fight the sin that still shows up in their life, in their heart. And my hope would be to encourage you, those of you who are already trusting in Jesus, if you know you're a Christian, to encourage you to keep on fighting in that battle, to know that you're not going to be perfect yet in this life, that you're going to have a battle even on the inside in your heart, but that you can keep on going, that you need to keep on living in obedience to Jesus no matter what, that you need to keep on going down that road of pleasing Christ because you love him. Keep on following what Jesus tells you in his word to deal with. Keep on turning away from sin now. Keep on confessing your sin to Jesus. Keep on repenting. Keep on seeking find help from older Christians in your life. Keep on following what God's word tells you, no matter what. Keep on praying to God. Keep on building those habits now in your life as a Christian to deal with sin. Keep on going because Jesus saved you. Someone who's not in the kingdom, a religious Pharisee, is not going to do this. They won't be taking sin seriously, and they won't be fighting sin in love for Jesus in their heart. In fact, they'll even just love that sin more, even though they know it's going to bring what we don't want in the end. Sin will bring judgment. What about you? Which of these two categories of people do you fall in? Are you somebody who's really in the kingdom, shown up in a hatred for sin? Or are you somebody who's a religious Pharisee who looks good on the outside and who keeps things looking clean and good to others on the outside, but God knows your heart and you're following sin? A last lesson we can see here from these verses from Jesus is, number three, a kingdom citizen knows I can't enter the kingdom through my own law keeping. I can never enter God's kingdom through my own law keeping. In these verses, Jesus is warning us about real righteousness, real obedience to the law, about what goes on in your heart. Not just obeying the big stuff, the obvious stuff on the outside, but actually loving and obeying God on the inside. And that makes us realize when we think about it that sin isn't just some people's problem. It's not just the really bad people, the villains, or the people that show up on the Channel 4 news for breaking the law. No, sin isn't just some people's problem out there. It's everyone's problem. It's your problem. It's a problem of everyone's heart. It's not just a problem of known sinners, of adulterers, of lawbreakers, of murderers. It's a problem in your heart. One pastor has written that the law is like what Jesus is talking about here, these commands of right and wrong. The law is like a diagnostic tool. That's a weird word. The law is like a diagnostic tool that indicates our true spiritual condition. The law is like a diagnostic tool that indicates our true spiritual condition. That's kind of a tricky sentence. But what is that? What's a diagnostic tool? Well, we could think of like a stethoscope when you go to the doctor and he has that little thing that he can hear your heartbeat or hear how your lungs are. He can hear how things are on the inside, and he can then diagnose or tell you what's wrong or if there is something wrong on the inside. Well, the law can can tell you, what Jesus says here can tell you if there's something wrong here on your heart, on the inside. And the law can tell you that you are a big sinner, going down deep into your thoughts and your heart and your desires on the inside. The law, what Jesus says is right and wrong here, tells you that you have a really serious problem. It diagnoses that you fall short. God's law tells you that you've sinned against God, not just the bad people, the obvious sinners, the murderers, the lawbreakers, but each of us has a serious sin problem in our heart. And the law is diagnosing you. It's saying that you have a big sin problem. That's what Jesus is getting at here in these verses. And listen to Romans 3:20. It says, "By the works of the law, no one will be right with God. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. By the works of the law, no one will be right with God. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." That's telling you, trying to do these things in your own strength will never get you in a right relationship with God. It'll never get you in the kingdom. The law will just show you that you're a sinner. That's what Jesus wants you to see here too. We can never enter the kingdom like the Pharisees thought by being good enough. We can't just try to look better or clean enough on the outside or just come to church more, or just read our Bible more, or just memorize some more verses, or just not be as bad as some other people out there. No, because of our sin in our heart, even if we haven't sinned on the outside where people see, we've all broken God's law in our heart. We can never enter the kingdom through being good enough. Jesus is reminding us here that the law says we all have a big sin problem. So how can we be in the kingdom? How can we enter the kingdom? Who can make it possible for you to be saved from judgment, from hell, forever? Who can forgive your sins? Who can live a perfect life? Who did alone live a perfect life and kept the law perfectly? Who died and rose again in the place of sinners to bring them to God? Who is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world? Who came to take away your sins? Well, who was speaking right here in these verses in Matthew chapter 5? It's Jesus. Jesus challenges you to think about your heart and to see your sinfulness and then to see that he came to take away that sin on the cross. He came to deal with that sin, and anyone who comes to him, who turns to him, who brings your sin to him, who believes in him, he will welcome into his kingdom. One question to take away from this lesson: are you trusting in Jesus alone to save you from your sin? Are you trusting in Jesus alone to save you from your sin? Only a real Christian will be that person. Someone who's not in the kingdom, a religious Pharisee, is going to ignore their sin, and even more, they're going to ignore Jesus. They won't see how much they need Jesus, and they won't bring their sin to him. But a citizen of the kingdom will say, "I need you, Jesus, so much. I need Jesus's perfect righteousness because I fall short. I'm a sinner, even in my heart. Jesus is the only way I can be forgiven. I can be declared right with God. The only way I can be in the kingdom." How about you? Which of those two groups are you in? Are you somebody trusting in Jesus to save you from your sin? Or are you a religious Pharisee? These words from Jesus remind us, even though they're about marriage in a lot of ways, and you might say, "Well, they're not really for me." No, they are for you. They have lessons for each of us. The Pharisees were people who were clean on the outside, like a car that had just been washed and looked great. But on the inside, where not everyone saw, where it really mattered. They were dirty, unclean, still in their sin. And Jesus' words should make us ask, what about you? What about you? Dear Lord, we pray to you and thank you for the words of Jesus here that diagnose that we have a really serious sin problem. And not just people out there or people that are known sinners, but each of our own hearts, Lord, are sinful. We thank you, Lord, that you, Jesus, came to take away the sins of the world, that everyone who believes in you will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Thank you that you save sinners, that you give new hearts, and that you've saved even some students in this room. Help those who are in Christ, who have been saved, to fight their sin, to grow in righteousness, to put away sin, and to walk in a way that honors you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.